Thursday, June 30th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, another very positive Supreme Court decision. The court ruled earlier this week that a school district violated Coach Joe Kennedy's First Amendment rights. Harry, we first covered this story several years ago. At issue was whether a public school employee praying alone but in view of students was engaging in unprotected government speech, and if not government speech, does it still pose a problem under the First Amendment's Establishment Clause? The Supreme Court ruled this past Monday in a 6-3 decision that the answer to both questions is no.
And part of what exacerbated the action of the school to forbid Coach Kennedy from praying publicly on the football field after the game was the fact that a lot of people were joining him. Passersby, parents, students, and a coach from another team saw it after the game and reported him. And then the school began to take action. Now, again, Tom, let's also make sure the backstory is clear. Coach Kennedy was a volunteer, then became a participant on the coaching staff, eventually became the football coach, and he had made a commitment as a Christian that he would go to the middle of the field after the game and he would pray to thank the Lord for the athletes, for the people that were there, the officials, and then would thank the Lord for safety, and he would just do that. He made no announcement about it. He didn't even invite anybody. He just did it. This is, as we used to say, a free country, right? Well, the school said that he could not do that any longer because it was a government establishment of religion. Well, the reality is he did not bring it as a governmental edict that everyone had to pray, everybody had to join him in prayer. None of that ever happened. He wasn't establishing prayer. He was practicing religion. It's something called the First Amendment, the free practice of religion. And others began to exercise their freedom to practice religion and free speech. There's a reason all of those affirmations by our founding fathers were put into the First Amendment, and that is exactly what the Supreme Court justices observed. Free assembly, free speech, and the free practice of religion are inseparably connected to each other. And the school district was in violation in its prohibition of the First Amendment and those three affirmations in particular, and thus the opinion came down. Now, it needs to be stated that early on when the school told him he had to cease and desist, he did for a period of time, but then out of conviction decided, I can't do that, so he started back his practice. Well, they then came to him and said, look, you can pray. You just can't pray publicly. And they identified a room in the school where he could go and pray privately by himself. And of course, he refused to do that, not because he didn't have a life of private and personal prayer, but because the school was overstepping its directives upon him as an employee in light of the constitutional freedoms that he enjoys. When you go to work for the government, you don't lose your First Amendment rights. And then he went to the courts for relief. And now it made its way to the Supreme Court. Tom, we have followed this case because I have felt that this is a crucial case because those who are committed to eviscerating the First Amendment in general and the free practice of religion in the public square specifically are aiming at the schools as their instrument to elicit that. The school districts now are telling children and students they can't have a Bible on their desk, they can't pray in the classroom, they can't pray in the lunchroom, but yet we bring drag queens in. In some cases, a governmentally funded initiative, and in other cases, a governmentally allowed, but you could not start a Christian group on the school grounds that would meet in any of its facilities. So what is happening? In the push for a governmentally provided utopian there is the need to eviscerate the First Amendment because there is the need to vacuum out the sacred in society and make society secular. The only room for religion is, quote unquote, in your heart, in your home, in your private room, but it would be outlawed in the society. And the instruments that's used is the educational system, reinforced by government coercion, particularly through the public school system, which has become the government school system. Well, now we have a Supreme Court that has a majority of originalists and textualists, and they realize that this current movement to remove the constitutional rights of the free practice of religion from the school system, as well as other arenas of the public square, is not constitutional and does not stand the test of a legal analysis of the Constitution. Thus, they have ruled in favor of Coach Kennedy. This is really significant. So, Tom, we're seeing this battleground in terms of the First Amendment in the public schools. In a clear vote of 6-3, Coach Kennedy's religious freedom to be able to practice his religion and for other people to assemble with him voluntarily and to do so on government-owned property was sustained. Now, we have to deal with two things, Tom, as a part of this conclusion. Number one, people said, well, the athletes were coerced to participate because they wouldn't be able to make the team or stay on the team if they didn't pray with the coach. Well, the coach never said that, never communicated that, that never became a part of it. There were never any witnesses to that. And the reality is when the school dismissed the coach because he continued to pray, that was not one of their grounds because that was not factual, and they wouldn't have been able to make that stick. Secondly, people say, well, wait just a minute. Why don't you listen to Jesus? Jesus said that you're supposed to pray in your closet. What Jesus was confronting was the Pharisees' practice of doing their private prayers publicly to be seen by others. That's what he condemned. He didn't condemn public prayer. He condemned private prayer being done publicly in order to be seen by others. Well, that's not what Kennedy was doing. In fact, Kennedy's public prayer was a personal act that became public when people began to join him. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in the Epistle to Timothy, I would that men lift up holy hands, praying everywhere. So all of that is a part of it. What we're not to do is to do our private prayers publicly to be seen by people, but we can and should engage in public prayer to call upon the Lord, and therefore there is nothing inferior in terms of Christianity of his practice. It is consistent with Christianity to have both personal prayer life and a public prayer life to call upon the Lord. So at every point, Christian orthodoxy and the Constitution, this decision is affirmed. I am glad it's been made, and hopefully those who are using the public school system to advance a secular materialist world and life view will have to at least make some pause, as our Constitution is not suspended when you go through the doors of a school. But while you have the constitutional right, do you have the constitutional desire? And have you been taught to pray? Pastors, we need to make sure that we disciple our flocks so they know the importance of prayer and how to pray, because the exhortation of the Scripture so informs us, you have not because you ask not. So let's make sure we know how to pray effectively and that we do pray. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened.
Prayer. How can something that seems so simple be so difficult? As believers in Jesus Christ, we are told to pray without ceasing. And yet, as easy as prayer ought to be, a consistent, God-honoring prayer life is a challenge. How can we have an effective prayer life? How do we honor God with our prayers? Harry Reeder has put together an 11-part CD series on the Lord's Prayer. To order your copy of this important series, go to briarwood.org/Lord's Prayer. We'll do stop by again tomorrow, Friday, as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview. to put the issues of today in perspective.